Oh, man, I'm grateful. If you are a guest here, man, welcome. we're reshaping this church, as my brother said. We're kind of reshaping the way that we do things around here because we're committed to the gospel. We truly believe that the gospel changes everything. It changes our relationship with God and each other. That's who we're striving to be. A church that stands firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come as you are, you'll be loved. That's what we talk about. I'm dying already. Today, we're going to be in chapter Luke. Who spiked my water? I'm watching you, man. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke today. And the title of our sermon is Selfless, Not Selfish. Excuse me. You guys know I was born in Tennessee, right? Born and raised in Tennessee. This past week. And here again, God always gives us what we need. As I was preparing for this sermon, I read that my home state of Tennessee has now passed a law against public camping. You guys heard of public camping? It's really called homelessness. They passed a law against homelessness. and so it confused me. So instead of just reading the headlines, I actually read the whole article. And what I found out disturbed me. It disturbed me because of the fact that, yes, now hold on a second. Yes, are there people who abuse the system? Yes, there are. Are there people who choose to refuse to work and live off handouts? Yes, there are. There absolutely are. But what about the family whose mom had cancer? And they've lost everything because they had to pay the medical bills. What about the addicted? The runaways? What about veterans? Tennessee has almost 700 veterans that are homeless. Across this nation, there's roughly 40,000 veterans, members, brothers and sisters of mine, brothers and sisters of many of the people who served along in here, our brothers and sisters in arms, who have, for whatever reason, experienced an incredible amount of trauma in their lives, who find themselves homeless. And Tennessee says, you're not worthy. Tennessee says, if you're arrested for public camping, you're going to get 6 years in prison and having your voting rights taken away. My brothers and sisters in arms who fought for this country are going to be felons. Let that sink in. They're going to face arrest, and then once they get out, many landlords won't rent to folks who have felonies. Many people will not hire people who have felonies, regardless of what it is. Have you guys heard the saying, hiding in plain sight? It's okay, you can nod your heads, yes. We're among friends here. When I talk about hiding in plain sight, I usually talk about my car keys. Anybody else? Huh? You know, the other thing is, for my brothers and sisters in here who have teenagers, right? Hiding in plain sight means I can put something on the first shelf of the refrigerator and say, hey, Daniel, will you go get this for me? And he'll go in there and he'll stare at the refrigerator. And he'll come back either with something that I completely didn't ask for, or he will say this, I couldn't find it. I tell you this because there are many people who are homeless that walk among us that we don't know. They walk among us. They're hiding in plain sight. Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, talked about from Genesis right up until the New Testament begins after his death, of course. And it talked about him. And he's walking among them. And yet, he's still hiding in plain sight. The Bible talks about a number of times that people not being able to see what was right in front of them. If you read the passages in the Bible, right, you listen to how many times Jesus tried to tell them who he was through the scriptures, and they're like, wait, what? Even the woman at the well says, we know that the Messiah is coming. We know that he's called the Christ, and he's going to lead us into all things. He's going to tell us of all truth. And yet she walked away still with him standing right there in front of him, not really getting it. Jesus was not like that. Jesus saw beggars, and he saw the poor, and he saw the lame, and he saw the possessed. Every one of those to him was in full view. But for others, they were still hidden. How about us? Has there been a time in your life where you've been hurting and suffering and you feel like nobody sees you? Have you felt that way? Have you felt like nobody saw the pain that's going on in your life? Or let's turn it around. How many times have you seen your friend, a coworker, a family member, and they're hurting, but yet we can't see it? And even then, they're right there in front of us. This passage that we're talking about today is usually equated to the passage about heaven and hell. It's about Lazarus and the rich man. Except I'm going to teach you today from what Jesus is, the thing that Jesus is talking us about. And so I don't have the main, normally I'll put the main passages up there, but I don't have that today. If you can tell, I've been kind of over trying to get through this cold. I promise you it's cold because 9 COVID tests later and I'm still negative. The inside of my nose looks like a cotton field of South Carolina. So if you'll open up your Bibles, right, or your reference or your app or whatever, and if you don't have a copy of the scripture, we've got Bibles in the backs of the pews. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke today. It's the third book of the New Testament, right? It's the third book of the Gospels. And so if you'll allow me to pray, then we're going to read the passage. And then we'll get into our scriptures, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for seeing us. We thank you for seeing us in our pain and our suffering. And we thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, that came into this world to live and die so that we can be made holy and righteous, Lord. And yet, God, as we gather together right now, we know in these times there are many, many people who are hurting and suffering. And yet, Lord, sometimes we have a hard time seeing them. Sometimes we have a hard time hearing their plight. And so, God, as you come today, Lord, together, Lord, and hear this passage, Lord, we ask that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us a heart of flesh, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of our sin of commission and the sin of omission, Lord, that we may be made holy and righteous so that your Spirit, Lord, can teach us today what you have us learn. Lord, I thank you for all that have gathered here with us today and those that are gathered online and those that will hear us later, Lord, that in these words today, in your words today, that they not return to you void. And all this I pray in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, this is the rich man and Lazarus. It's come from Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 19 through 31. And then I'm going to break this out a little bit deeper for us. So, it says, Bless your heart. Can I get a chair? You know, can you bring, I love you, girl. Thank you for the cough drops. Y'all love the smell of these things, huh? Can you always tell somebody's sick when they got a cough drop in their mouth? They smell like honey and lemon and all that other mentholatum stuff. I promise you I ain't breathing on you. Stay away. Luke chapter 16. Holy cow, I don't even know what's going on today, but I love it. Luke chapter 16, verse 19, he says, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at the gate was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried to the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called off, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for am I in anguish in this flame? But Abraham said, child, nope, that's not what it says. Says Abraham said, child, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus like manner had bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides, all this between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that they may warn them, and lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses, and they have the prophets. Let them hear, he said. No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes from the dead to tell them, they will repent. And he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced by someone who should rise from the dead. Holy cow, even a miracle can't save these cats. So, as we see in this parable, there's always some deep truth to mine out. Did you guys know that this is like the only time that Jesus actually put a name to somebody in the parables? Usually he talks about the young ruler or the rich man. But here he actually gives this guy a name. We saw it in Joe's thing. He talked about the Samaritan. He talked about the Levite, the priest. But here we see Lazarus. So as we begin today, there's three truths that I want you to kind of see if you can find out of this. I want to talk about one. First off, we need to always have a vision that we're looking towards heaven. We need to hear the cries of the suffering, and then we need to be burdened to tell of God's amazing grace. So let's start with, we need to have a vision of heaven. This is going to be 19 through 23. He says this, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being tormented, he lifted his eyes up and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Jesus opens up this parable talking about these two guys. He says one of them was rich. So rich he was dressed in the finest of purple clothes. So rich that even his undergarments, the linen, was the finest of linen. Some of the softest linen known at that time. The New Living Translation says he was splendidly clothed, and he lived in a life where each day was filled in luxury. And then there was Lazarus. Man, not poor, but dirt poor. I'm talking no red cent. I'm talking not two nickels to rub together. I'm talking about so poor, he can't even pay attention poor. This cat was so poor that people would break into his house to leave things. I got to wait for him to catch up on that one. And then, I mean, the Bible describes Lazarus as someone that's so poor, he's just waiting for crumbs to fall off the master's table, so that the rich man's table, so that he can have something to eat. Describes him as diseased and hungry. And then both of them died. One goes to Abraham's side, another into torment. I want you to understand one thing before I go any further. God does not condemn prosperity. God does not condemn wealth. The reason the rich man ended up in torment was not because of his wealth, but because of his selfishness. He was not being a good steward of all his resources that God had blessed him with. He didn't use the things that God had given him to benefit the poor and the needy. You see, the rich man saw the wealth as his wealth and not what God had blessed him with, not as God's wealth for him. And he was completely oblivious to the plight of Lazarus. Oh, he just didn't care. Wasn't his problem. He should just get a job. Quit being a burden against society. That's the way the rich man saw him. What we see is a man with a hard heart because of his wealth. And Jesus tries to tell us that it's our heart. It's what's inside of us that sets us apart. I mean, and he tells us also that we've got to have a heart of flesh and not have this hard heart, this heart of stone. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 6. But store up yourself for treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is where your heart is also. You see, the way we live and the way we work and the way we see the world should always be done with a kingdom focus. So often, we get caught up in the own minutia of our own lives and we fail to act because we fail to see the need. Other times, we see the need and yet we fail to act. And then, there's other times where God calls us to act and we fail to do so. But God says, look to me. Family, he says, if we keep our eyes on heaven when we think, when we speak, and when we act, we glorify God. And when we glorify God, we lead others. That's what it means to keep your eyes on heaven, to have a vision for heaven. Second, I want to talk about how we need to hear the cries of the suffering. The rich man cried out. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am anguish and flame. Abraham's child, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus, like the manner, had bad things, but now he is comforted and you are in anguish. You've made a chasm between us. And none shall pass to you, and none from you will pass to us. And he said, I beg you, Father, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Jesus says, in this parable, he says, this man's crying out for help for the flames. Help me, help my family. Just ask Lazarus to just dip his finger to cool me. What had been in life before is now totally reversed. But it was not by God's doing that this situation was reversed. Can we just say that the rich man literally dug his own grave? He literally dug his own grave. See, the rich man's separation from Abraham was caused by his own sin, the sin of omission. He knew what he should do. He knew what he should do. He had God's word to tell him what he should do, and he didn't do it. He knew. He knew what was required of him. He didn't listen closely enough to the cries of Lazarus suffering. Here at Ridgeview, we have the ability to help people. Amen? We've been given this great ability to help people. But I'm going to just say, you guys go to the store, you go to the gas station. The dollars that we have don't go as far as they used to. Once we could buy gas, and we could buy 6 or 8 gallons of gas for somebody that needed help. Now we can barely buy 4. When we go to the store now, we see people having to put items back because they don't have enough money. For our brothers and sisters on fixed incomes, it's even worse, right? The choice between food and medication, gas, doctor's appointments, co-pays. You see, when we go out in town, we literally see people with dwindling hope. We see people that with their heads down, and we know they feel bad, but yet they don't have enough money to go to a doctor or a dentist. And we see people that are lost because they don't know the power that exists in Jesus Christ. They haven't experienced the power of a relationship with Christ. You know what? They're all in plain sight. They're all in plain sight. We need to be hearing those cries. See, this there's a story. There's a story. I'm slobbering from the cough drop. I love you, girl. There's a story in the Gospel of Mark, right, about Jesus going to heal a deaf person. I call it the miracle of the wet willy. You guys know this one, right? I call it the miracle of the wet willy. Listen to what Jesus said. The Gospel of Mark describes it this way. He don't describe it the way I do. He said, taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into ears. And he looked up from heaven and he sighed to this. And he said to him, Ephphatha. That means be opened. And his ears were opened. Maybe this is us. Maybe we need Jesus to come and stick his fingers in our ears so that we can be opened and hear those who cry out. Or maybe it's not that we don't hear. Maybe it's we don't hear above the white noise of our lives. You know what I mean? We got so much going on that we can't hear because we're in this. You know, I've always had respect. Where's Marilyn? Is she in here? She's in toddler room today, isn't she? Marilyn, I hope you're listening to me today because I'm going to tell a story about you. Anybody else in here love dogs? Who's got dogs? Who got cats? Who got cats and dogs? Who just got cats? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I love dogs. I love big dogs. I love small dogs. I love dogs. When they shake their head, slobber goes everywhere. I love dogs. Can I tell you what I admire most about dogs is their sense of smell, right? They can smell everything. But you know what I didn't know that I'm finding out? Dogs have an incredible sense of hearing. Incredible sense of hearing. How many of you guys that are dog owners, right, can gently pull the Ziploc bag of the dog cookies And no sooner than you get it open, there is a face intently staring you down. At my house, the TV can be on, the washer can be on, the dryer can be running, my wife can be yelling at me. She's in the toddler room too, by the way. And I'll go to get a treat for my dog. Through all of that, Helen Keller said this. She said, blindness separates us from things. Deafness separates us from people. Blindness separates us from things. Deafness separates us from people. I wonder what would happen to our church and to our community if we had those same ears as our dogs for the broken, the hurting, and the lost. That if our hearing was so in tune that when we even heard the slightest whimper of hopelessness, we were there staring intently, asking, how can I help? How can I help? You see, family, we have to do a better job to hear the cries of the suffering. Finally, I want to talk about our need to be burdened to tell of God's grace. Our need to be burdened to tell of God's grace. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they did not hear Moses and the prophets, neither they will be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. The rich man was asking to have Lazarus raised from the dead to tell his brothers in hopes of saving them from the torment they were going to endure. And Abraham looked at him and said, nope, nope, not going to do it. He said, you've had your chance to read God's word, and so did your brothers. It's been there for you. It was there for you. It's been there the whole time. It's been in plain sight. Everything you needed to know was in God's word. Listen to what I'm telling you, rich man. It's all there. And resurrecting somebody from the dead ain't going to change things for you, because you didn't believe it before. The irony of this is, as Jesus is telling this story, he's already raised the young widow's son from the dead. People knew. In Luke chapter 7, we read about how he raised that widow's son. And soon after that, he's going to raise another Lazarus from dead. And soon after that, he's going to rise himself. Amen. You see, so many people struggle to find their way. And as we talked about the other night in our men's group, what do? When we're struggling, we put our heads down and we charge ahead. We're going to keep plowing ahead with our heads down. I used to be that way. Still am sometimes. My dad reminded me growing up. He said, Kevin, that was the way my dad used to address me most of the time. Kevin. He didn't call me pastor because I wasn't one then. He called me Kevin. God. He said, listen, man, he said, you can stand there and beat your head against that wall. Eventually, you might crash through it. But the only thing that you're going to get besides the loss of time is a bloody noggin from beating your head against that wall. He said, why don't you look for another way around? That's us. God's word gives us another way around. He's called us to be different. He says, look, Jesus, you're going to face real challenges. Not just You're going to face real challenges in our families and in our church and our community. And so you need to be different. You got to think differently. So do we think differently? Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5, verse 16 tells us, he says, be salt and light. Be salt and light. Be a city on the hill. And he says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Y'all ever been in a store and heard Code Adam? Have you ever heard Code Adam before? I've only had it happen to me one time. I was shopping for man things, because that's what you do in hardware stores. You shop for man things, not paint, unless your wife tells you to. So I'm in Lowe's, and all of a sudden I hear this, attention shoppers and staff, we have a Code Adam. There's a little boy lost, and suddenly everything on my shopping list went away. And suddenly on the shopping list of everybody around me went away, and it was everybody searching, stopping what they were doing to search for that child. Nothing else in that day and in that moment mattered except finding that child. There was a sense of urgency and purpose. Who would want to have the fact that a child had been lost and possibly been stolen? Long about the time that the frantic the stuff is going on, another announcement comes over the loudspeaker, over the PA, and it says, cancel Code Adam, the little boy's been found. And again, everybody stopped what they were doing and cheered and applauded. The little boy had been found. So many people out there are that little boy. They're lost. And we've got to have a sense of urgency to find them. There's not just one Code Adam going on in our community. There are hundreds. There are hundreds of Code Adams going on right now in our community. And we have something so profound to tell them about God's grace and about Jesus Christ, who came and lived a sinless life and died on the cross and was buried and resurrected, not just for our salvation, but so that we would have a chance to possess the Holy Spirit, a chance to be filled with something so special that would help us, like I said last time, not to give us freedom from life, but to give us freedom of life. We have this, but we have to get out and spread this word. We have to be Code Adam. We have to have a sense of urgency to look, to see, to listen to those people out there who are lost and crying out to help. Let me recite again to you what Paul says in Romans chapter 10. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless they hear of him? And who is going to be the one that tells them? How can they hear? Faith only comes through hearing. And hearing only comes through Jesus Christ. Let us preach. We're about to close up this service, Tony. So as soon as this service is over, we're going to bring some folks over here from the dwelling place to come up and tell you a little bit about what's going on with them, because our friend Sydney, there she is again. You on the cell phone up there? Oh, our phone. Yeah, throw her under the bus. Okay. Like I said, Sydney had laid on her heart, right, to have God have her use as an instrument to help the homeless. And so here I want us to reflect as these guys get fixing to do this time of response. I want you to take a time to reflect and respond on what we've heard today. See, much of the reason that we fail to hear is because of our heart. Our hearts have become hardened by the world and by what we see and by what we read and by the cynicism of the world and by the politics. It's just a constant, Jesus says, put away the hardness of your heart. Put away the hardness of your heart and put on a heart of flesh. You see, when we have a heart of flesh, we hear those who are crying out in the wilderness, and we will see those who are hiding in plain sight, and we will become burdened for them to feel the grace of God. It's hard to admit that we have hard hearts. I get it. And normally we only understand that we have a hard heart is when we allow the Holy Spirit to search us. And so as these guys, what are you singing today, Tony? Come to the altar. That's where it starts. It starts by coming to the altar, either where you're at or coming forward today, and allowing God to just penetrate inside you, Lord, and just allow him to fill your heart up with the love of Christ. Purge everything that's from you so that you can be filled with the Spirit, and then just be released to do what God has called us to do.